Kevin Kurtz joins us from San Jose. Kev, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. The Sharks, unfortunately, have been in this situation before. I guess maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But, you know, this is most people expected this series to go seven, but we didn't expect it to go three and then three. And, of course, the Sharks, no one thinks they have momentum. What's your gut call on who's going to start in goal in game seven, or who do you think should start in goal in game seven?
I think it's going to be Salock again. And, you know, I know if you just look at the score sheet and saw that he gave up four goals last night, that might not look too appealing. But he was actually very good in the first period. And they allowed a goal to Justin Williams there in the first. And Salock really came back, and he made some good stops on a couple odd man rushes, Mike Richards in particular. Sharks went down a man after Joe Thornton took a minor, and he made some real good saves on that penalty kill. So he kept him in the game. It was anybody's game at that point in the third period when Justin Williams scored that I guess let's call it a controversial goal. And then the Sharks kind of sagged in front of him after that goal, and he gave up another 3-on-2 and a power play goal. So I think it's going to be Stalock. He's better with the puck than Antti Niemi, and I think that's a real big mark in his column is that he can help the Sharks break out of their zone a lot more efficiently than Niemi can.
Looking ahead to Vlasic, any chance he plays game seven?
I don't think so. We had to ask today, and actually I was the one to ask Todd McClellan, and he kind of scoffed at the question, because obviously we're not going to get a straight answer. But Vlasic did not skate today. It's an upper body injury from what we're told from that hit by Jarrett Stoll. So, he didn't skate today, and we'll see tomorrow. But you guys know it's playoff time. We're not going to get a whole lot of information. Unfortunately, that's all we know at this point, is that he wasn't on the ice today either.
Kevin, obviously losing Vlasic is an answer to this question, but when you're watching the games, what else has changed since Game 3 for the Sharks?
Well, I think it's more what the Kings did. And you look at the first two games especially, and even into the third game, the Sharks were just getting odd man rush after odd man rush. The Kings were playing loose, and the Sharks took advantage of it. And at the same time, the Sharks' top players were going pretty well, and the Kings' top guys weren't. Really early in the season, I think Andrei Kopitar and Jeff Carter were probably the only two Kings that could say they had played well to that point. But then we saw Marian Gaborik pick it up. Justin Williams has been just outstanding the last couple games. The Kings made a couple line changes and kind of balanced things throughout their lineup, and the Sharks are having trouble matching up against that. Joe Pavelski has gone dry. Patrick Marleau hasn't done much. Brent Burns has just one 5-on-5 goal. That was an empty net goal in this series. I think if you look at the top guys and the goaltending, it was huge with Niemi in there. He simply was not matching what was going on the other end of the ice in Jonathan Quicksand, and Quick's gotten better as it's gone along. So, it's probably easy to say this now because of the way the series has gone, but the Sharks were playing well at first and the Kings weren't, and it's slowly just been going the other way. But having said that, the Sharks were better, a lot better in Game 6 than they were in Game 5. It's kind of baffling that as many guys didn't show up in Game 5 but the effort was there last night. And, up to the point of Justin Williams scoring that goal, it really was anybody's game.
Kevin Kurtz joins us from San Jose, the Sharks and Kings, Game 7, nothing better. There's two of them in the Western Conference, maybe three in the league if Philadelphia is victorious tonight over the Rangers. Kevin, I don't know if, you look, considering how San Jose won Game 3 in overtime, kind of got a lucky break. Maybe the series was destined to go seven, and regardless of how they got here, I'm not necessarily a huge believer that momentum really carries over from game to game. The San Jose Sharks, that place is loud, one of the loudest rinks in the Western Conference. The fans, I'm thinking, are going to play a huge part in this early on in the game. Who do you think has to be the key player for the San Jose Sharks to win in Game 7?
Well, I would start with Thornton and Burns. I know that's two guys, but they kind of go together. I want to see a little bit more from Burns. Thornton's legs were in the game early yesterday, and I think he's played generally well. But it's that top line, and you know, I think it starts right there. And you know, getting back to the comment about the home Sharks having home ice, we talked to Brad Stewart today, just maybe an hour ago, and in 2011, when the Sharks blew that 3-0 lead and then won Game 7 against Detroit, Stewart was on the Red Wings side of things, and he thinks the crowd does have an effect, and obviously scoring early would help, and that's something the Sharks haven't had a lead. I just looked it up a minute ago. Since the start of Game 3, they've had a lead for, I think, a minute and 32 seconds. And Game 3 ended with Patrick Marleau's overtime goal. But since then, they haven't had a lead, and the Kings have scored first in the last three. So that's going to be a huge part. You know, the Kings, as you guys I'm sure know, when they get a lead and they can go into lockdown mode, and we kind of saw it last night, and the Sharks kept pushing to their credit, and they did get that tying goal on a double deflection, but they did get it. But tomorrow, you know, first goal is just going to be huge. If the Sharks can get on the Kings early, get an early goal, and then the crowd gets behind them, I think that could be a real momentum swing. And if you believe Brad Stewart, that's probably how it's going to have to play out.
Kevin, there's a lot out there right now that Todd McClellan might be coaching for his job tomorrow night. Do you think that's a real possibility?
I don't know. I don't think so. But you know, then at the same time, you look at the Sharks just signed Thornton and Marleau to 3-year deals with no trade clauses. So I can tell you that if the Sharks lose this game tomorrow, it's a disaster for the organization. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Especially with you know the reputation they have around the league, and really maybe even with their own fans of just not being able to get it done when they need to get it done. So. I don't think so. You know, it wouldn't shock me, of course, because I would think something will have to change if this happens. But, you know, Todd is also at the point, I think, where, you know, if that did happen, there would be teams lined up around the league to hire him. I do think he's one of the best coaches in the game, and I think he's done a great job with this group, especially, you know, with Larry Robinson and Jim Johnson's help. So it's hard to say. I don't think so, but you know, something will have to change, and what that is, you know, everybody in that dressing room is hoping they won't have to find out.
Kevin, you know, Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, and the whole San Jose Sharks organization, they've been great in the regular season for so long, but because they've yet to even reach a Stanley Cup final, a lot of people look at that organization as, wow, they've underachieved, they should be better, they have more talent than this. Do you sense at all the players feel that? Is there any sort of added pressure because of previous seasons by the San Jose Sharks?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it was a pretty loose group today on the ice, and you know that's the culture of that dressing room is keeping it loose. And you know, several players have come here, whether it be midseason and the off season, and they comment how it's a you know, it's a looser room. They like it. It's a fun environment. You know, and the flip side of that is, well, maybe that doesn't work. The team has not made that extra step yet. And you know, when it comes down to it, at some point, these guys are going to have to make a Stanley Cup final appearance in order to be viewed as having, you know, successful Sharks careers. You know, it starts with Thornton and Marleau, but. You know, in this series, there's other guys, too. And Pavelski was their leading goal scorer, and he hasn't done much the last couple of games. Logan Couture hasn't done a whole lot. So, you know, the sag from the Sharks was a team-wide sag, I think. And I don't think it's fair, really, to point out just the Thornton and Marleau, even though they could have been a whole lot better, especially in Game 5. You could say that about a whole lot of guys on the roster.
Will you see any other lineup changes? We've seen the fourth line, you know, Marty Havlat's been in, Mike Brown's been in and out. On the back end, there's been some changes. Do you see any lineup changes for Game 7?
I could see them maybe going back to Mike Brown for Game 7. But, you know, if Vlasic doesn't get in, you're going to have the same six D-men. It looks like Thomas Hertl, the rookie, is going to stay on Thornton's line, and Pavelski's going to stay on the third line and maybe match up better against Jarrett Stoll's line, which has had an effect. So, it's not going to be, if there are any changes, it's not going to be anything dramatic. You know, Havlat's probably the biggest question, whether he stays in, but That's the only change I could see happening, other than the goaltender. Like I said, I do think they're going to stick with Stalock, but if they came back out with Niemi tomorrow, I wouldn't be overly shocked.
And lastly, Jonathan Quick's numbers the last three games are significantly better than the first three. Obviously, no one expected the Sharks to score six goals every game like they did in the first two, but what do they have to do different to beat Jonathan Quick that they haven't done the last three games?
I think they were in his head early, and early in the series, that was Mike Brown's role, and he got in there, and Jonathan Quick was agitated, and he was letting in goals. Obviously, the defense in front of him wasn't very good, and there were a lot of rushes coming the other way, but, you know, he wasn't making the stops that we typically see him make. So, at the end of Game 6, we saw him get a little rattled. He kind of jumped Thornton at the end after Thornton ran over Drew Doughty. Thornton had kneed Dustin Brown earlier in the game. Maybe it was a little bit related to that. But, I wouldn't be shocked if they put in a Mike Brown tomorrow to try to maybe agitate Jonathan Quick a little bit and try to get him off his game. But because he has been spectacular in the last three. And, you know, the defense in front of him has been good, but he's made some real world-class saves too.
Kevin, as always, we appreciate it. Should be an electric atmosphere in San Jose tomorrow night. Enjoy it. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Anytime.